My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 69. Hello, my friends. Every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it, and staying healthy and sane in the process. So if you're one of the listeners who maybe is just joining us or just joined recently, a little update on who I am and why you should bother listening to me talk about these things. I'm an author, podcaster, and I've been an indie publishing pioneer since 2004. I'm also a creative services provider, helping writers bring their works to fruition, to market, and to an audience. I've got something like a dozen fiction and nonfiction works on the market. Been around for a while, been doing this and helping other people do this in one form or another for, the better part of 20 years. I've seen it. Everything's always changing in the independent creative world. So my approach, I try to be an experienced beginner. And one of the things that I like to do in that spirit is start every episode by letting you know what's been going on in my creative life since we last spoke. I'm recording this for you today on January 30th, 2023. It's a Monday. I'm here in the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media in Southern California. I hate to say it, but I'm still kind of recovering from the nasty cold that I had. I'm just sort of at the lingering cough and mild fatigue from not doing a whole heck of a lot in the last couple of weeks. But I've been getting out and about, but primarily I have been still focusing most of my energy on my client work and also in doing interviews with other authors and writers for future episodes of Sonatotum. So what else has gone on? I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. One of the big sort of technical things from the last couple weeks, I've mentioned that I was moving my podcast episode media hosting from one provider to another. That migration is complete. The last episode, episode 68, was the first episode to go out through the new distribution channel. The only thing I did with the old distribution channel is put up a very brief episode saying, hey, if you're getting your podcasts, if you're subscribed on that old feed, you need to change to the new feed. So if you're listening to this, you've already done that, or you always have been using the correct feed, and you're getting the complete and full Sonatotum experience with the correct show notes and all that good stuff. So hi, speaking of the migration, it seems like I'm getting some better statistics. There are overall 126 unique listeners in the last 7 days or so. That's not 126 unique listeners for the last episode, but overall, 126 people have downloaded an episode of Sonatotum. Hopefully, all 126 of you are subscribed wherever it is you get your podcasts. Please remember to subscribe for free. That way, as the kids say, you never miss an episode, right? So I'm discovering that, not surprisingly, the majority of folks are from the United States. Hello, my fellow United Statesians. But this is a surprise. 30% of you in the last week are in Singapore. What's going on there? This is something that hasn't popped up before for me. If you are listening from Singapore, welcome up. And what you doing here? How'd you find the show? Do me a favor and be sure to leave a little feedback. I'll have all the information you need on how to comment on this in any episode a little later in the show. But in brief, if you'd like to leave feedback on the show, you can always go to mattselznick.com, click on the podcast menu item, find this episode, episode 69, and leave a comment there, or you can email me at matt@mattselznick.com. I would love to know, you folks in Singapore, how'd you discover the show? What brings you? And welcome. So the other big majority of listeners coming from the UK, the Netherlands, and India, but a couple of people came from the following countries: the Czech Republic, Poland, and old standby Spain. And there are individuals who've listened to Sonitotum in the last week from Denmark, Germany, Ireland, and Luxembourg. Again, I would love to hear from all of you, just to hear from you, find out what it is that brought you to the show, what you think of the show. It's lovely to know that you're out there. So speaking of folks who are listening to and especially supporting the show, you know, before I forget, because I tend to forget, not because I don't love these folks, but because I'm just, that's who I am. That's what happens to me. So before we go any further, I want to thank my multiversalists, my member patrons, who are supporting the show for $5 a month and getting all the bells and whistles. And again, you will hear more about that later in the show. Thank you so much once again to Chuck Anderson, Amy Bowen, J.C. Hutchins, and Ted Leonhardt for your continued wonderful support. Thank you so much to all my patrons. My patrons are getting the full uncut version of this show, as they do every week. And again, if you want to get in on that, keep listening. There will be more information on how to become a member patron and enjoy all the perks of membership just a little later in the show. So, yeah, the big thing, the thing that I spent most of my time not working on client stuff in this past week, the big thing, two things, but the big thing was I have recorded more interviews. In fact, six more interviews of authors since I last spoke to you. So now Rhiannon Held, Anthony Eichenlaub, Krista Walsh, Jeffrey Doherty, Celia Lake, and Deborah Parmley join the authors who have recorded a conversation for Sonitotum, the other authors being P.A. Cornell, Joyce Reynolds Ward, and Monica Cross. I've spent in the last 2 weeks about, if you think about everything, 15, 20 hours on these interviews and prep and the actual conversations themselves, which usually last around an hour and a half each. And it's going to take me probably at least another 40 hours to edit and produce those conversations and turn them into real episodes. It's so worth it. These conversations have been wonderful. You guys are going to get so much out of them, and I'm excited to bring them to you listeners. Originally, my intention had been to wait until there were 30 member patrons, 30 multiversalists in the member community before I started releasing these interviews at a rate of one every other episode. I am turning around on that. These conversations are just too good to hold hostage. And of course, it's a chicken and egg kind of situation. I know that interviews bring more listeners just automatically because there's a chance that the friends and fans and community connected to the interview subject are going to tune in and listen, and maybe they stick around, et cetera, et cetera. More listeners to Sonitotum, more people in the Sonitotum listener family equals a bigger chance that more of those folks will become member patrons like Chuck and Amy and JC and Ted. So I'm not going to hold those interviews hostage. Those interviews will begin to appear as Sonitotum episodes in March of 2023. And when all is said and done, just to do those 9 shows that will be spread out over 18 weeks, it's going to take me another 40 hours at least on top of the 15 hours. It's a lot of work. It pulls me away from my own creative work, and it pulls me away. Well, it doesn't pull me away from the time I can spend on clients. It just means I'm having longer days, right? So this is why my patrons are so valuable. It's why originally I was waiting until there were more patrons, because a little bit of compensation, patronage, will help offset the amount of time and work and energy that will go into creating those interviews. So I'm just going to say, if you would like to support that effort, once again, consider becoming a patron, $5 a month. You can cancel at any time, but there are many, many reasons not to. And you will find out how to do that later in the episode. Rhiannon Held, Anthony Eichenlaub, Crystal Walsh, Jeffrey Doherty, Celia Lake, Deborah Parmley, P.A. Cornell, Joyce Reynolds Ward, and Monica Cross. Fantastic conversations with a wide variety of authors at varying stages of their creative careers, writing in different genres and even different media. Those interviews are coming in March of 2023. Meanwhile, if you are an author or writer, again, at any stage in your career, and you'd like to talk to me about making stuff, finding success as you define it, and staying healthy and sane in the process, I am not doing any interviews until March, but I am accepting inquiries and I am going ahead and booking for March. So if you're interested in that, if you're a writer, author listening to this, and you'd like to have a in-depth, honest, vulnerable conversation with high value for your fellow writers and readers, you can go to mattselznick.com/sonitotum-guest-inquiry. And if that's too much, just go to mattselznick.com. And when you hover over the podcast link in the menu, you'll see the be a guest link, and you can check it all out there and reach out. Phew. The other thing that I don't know if I can talk about that yet. A change is coming to how I sell my electronic, my ebooks and my audiobooks, my electronic fiction and nonfiction. I think I'll be ready to talk about that next episode. But I did spend some time working on that this week. See a lot of creativity adjacent stuff, partially because, again, the cold, just feeling kind of blah, has limited my energy. But I'm starting to feel that itch come back. I'm starting to feel that tickle that tells me I'd better get back to actually creating stuff. I can feel I'm jonesing, basically, is what's happening. So for the benefit of my own mental health and those around me, this coming week, this last week of January, first week of February, I think I'll have something more directly related to my own creative endeavors to report to you in the next episode, episode 70. So that's what's up. So every episode of Sonitotum, we rotate between talking about making stuff, finding success, and staying healthy and sane. This episode, the focus is on making stuff. And since I haven't been doing a whole lot of making stuff lately, I thought I would talk about one of the ways that I make stuff, and in particular, my approach, some of my methods to developing characters for fiction. I'm pretty sure most of you folks are writers or aspiring writers or authors. And those of you who may not be, who are just readers, well, consider this a glance at some inside baseball that might provide some insight in the process. First of all, there's no separation between characters and plot. You know, you'll often see in the description or sales copy, sales blurb for a book or a short story, this is a character-driven story. And I've used that phrase myself because people are used to seeing it. But that's not as opposed to a plot-driven story. At least not if you're writing well. I'm going to say it. Yeah. Now, you will encounter so-called plot-driven stories where the actual characterization doesn't matter, regardless of medium, whether it's a book or a short story or a movie or a TV show. Here it is, though. When you take in a movie or TV show or a book or whatever that is plot driven, where what happens is more important than what happens to the people it happens to, then you're not really going to care a whole lot about the experience overall. It's not going to stick with you. I think of, and I love these, believe me, but I think of most Godzilla movies. Now, these are like candy for me, but I know them for what they are. Most of these Godzilla movies put a very, very light level of importance on character development. There are exceptions, but truly, you don't really, really give a shit if the characters are in jeopardy. You're there to see the giant monsters wrestle with each other and, you know, destruction, and maybe to see how one monster defeats another one, you know. That's a plot-driven story. You know, a lot of more slasher horror. Now, I know there's been a great renaissance. We're talking about film here. There's been a renaissance of more intelligent, more interesting horror films in the last few years. But the old slasher movies, you know, where it's the college kids, and they're really just there one by one to get killed by the serial killer, except for that one person who somehow managed to survive. But you don't really know them. You don't really care about them. Those aren't character-driven works of narrative fiction. When it's done right, the character determines the plot. And let me explain that. So when you're developing a character for fiction, there are certain things to consider. And you might hear authors talking about their character sheets that they've developed, where they work out, you know, oh, well, they've got blue eyes and brown hair and they're this tall and they weigh this much and they have a scar on their elbow and they like spaghetti and their job is this and they make this much and they're in love with that person and they, you know, blah, 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 blah. None of that talks about why. None of that talks about what actually drives the personality, what makes the character of the character. And it's the psychology, it's the inner workings of a character that actually make them sympathetic, interesting, and indeed drives the plot. Very front of mind when I'm thinking about a character is, what's their problem? And I don't mean what problem in the outside world do they need to solve. I don't mean, you know, they need to defuse this bomb or defeat this monster or, you know, whatever external issue they're trying to address. I mean, what's their problem? What's the flaw in their personality that drives them, happily or not, probably unhappily, to make the choices that they've made that puts them in the position to be facing the external problem? And to figure this out, I joke about this all the time in a way, but it's truly, truly the core of all my methods. And it might sound overly simplistic, but I just keep asking why. They have crippling issues with self-esteem. Why? Well, they look different than everyone else, all of their friends and peers and everybody else in their world. Why? Well, and so on and so forth. And every time I ask why, I'm not only finding out more about this character's inner makings, I'm finding out more about their past, which, by the way, past is memory. Memory is personality. We are the aggregate sum of our experiences. So you need to know the character's experiences right up to the moment before they appear on the page to actually understand them. And you need to understand them in order to write them realistically, so they behave like people and not puppets who are directed through your plot, because that's where the idea of cardboard characters comes from, right? They're just there to be moved through the maze. When you know what makes your character who they are, and I mean down to better than they do themselves, and that's actually crucial. When you know them that well, then you immediately understand how they're going to behave, what decisions they're going to be making under pressure. And those decisions that they make will shape your plot, because unless you have a story completely without we'll say people, whatever they are. Maybe they're not actually humans, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? Thinking beings. Unless you have a story without thinking beings, it's about the people. It's not about the volcano blowing up. It's not about the ticking time bomb. It's about the people. I mentioned that it's important that you know them better than they know themselves. Because when all is said and done, I just said they're not puppets, but they are tools. They are instruments of your story. They serve your story. And you need to know them intimately, because if they knew them as well as you do, well, they wouldn't have the problems and the flaws. They'd be working on them, or they would have fixed them, or there'd be a good reason why. Ideally, the flaw in your character, your character's character, not your character, you're fine, I'm sure you're fine, should mirror the larger problem in the story. And I did this very, you know, sort of on the nose in my short story, Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Chimera Wolf. It's the first time I played in my Daikaiju universe story world, where basically giant monsters exist. Nobody quite understands why, but they've been around off and on since the 1800s. And, you know, we deal with them like we deal with bad weather, big storms, right? And in the story, Reggie, the main character, is an investigator of kaiju appearances. He's a dude who sort of shows up on the scene and coordinates with the local disaster relief and with the military and whatnot, and tries to just understand what's going on. Well, there's a kaiju attack in the hometown of the girl that got away, his ex-girlfriend, who he never quite moved on from. And I mean, you know, hey, you should read it. It's a short story. It's 99 cents. It's anywhere ebooks are sold, or you can buy it directly from me at mattselznick.com. Just go to the books page and you'll see it there. So I'm not going to give everything away, but the reason that Reggie never quite got over this one and the kaiju attack are thematically, at the very least, connected. And the story deals with that. If Reggie doesn't figure out his shit, then shit will go down. And that should be something that you pretty much always have happen with your primary protagonist. And really, honestly, with all of your characters to one degree or another. Every one of them, ideally, should have some sort of large or small arc of change that happens to them in the story. Now, in a short story, there's probably just one, right? One major arc, because a short story is supposed to be the most important moment in that character's life up to that time, maybe completely. Whereas a novel or a novelette or a novella, you have room to maybe explore a few different characters. Figure out what that person's problem is, not their actual, tangible, real world problem, not their objective, but their internal struggle. And I do this again by continually asking why, drilling, and I discover more things about them, about their past. And sometimes it helps me to fill in the gaps in my world building. This happened with all of the viewpoint characters in my last novel, Light of the Outsider. As I was working out their past, I mean, it's a fully realized original fantasy setting, so working out their past, I started working out, well, what kind of life did they lead? What does that mean for the culture? What does that mean for... It helped me answer a lot of questions that I haven't even asked yet, hadn't even asked yet, about the world. So my recommendation is to sort of free write. Talk about who the character is and just keep saying, okay, but why? Okay, so that happened, but why? Okay, so that happened, but what does that mean? Okay, so that happened. And just keep exploring it. I wrote thousands of words sort of sussing out the characters for Light of the Outsider. And it's a practice that really, really helps to know them so well that when you actually start writing manuscript pages in your actual story or book, that you know them, you're intimate with them. You know how they think, how they talk, how they would act. And knowing them that deeply, not the superficial bullshit. Nobody cares what's in their pockets. You know what I mean? Knowing them that deeply, you can get into their heads that much faster and bounce between their heads as you're writing the dialogue, that they'll have their own voices on the page. And because you've basically written their life story and you know all their issues and their backstory, you've got already the germs for other works of fiction based around those characters. So this sort of going deep and free writing and asking why and really understanding a character's background and their history, it's so rewarding. It will provide you with material that goes far beyond the actual thing you're writing this character for. You may discover, as I do all the time, that a secondary character or even a tertiary character becomes someone who you might want to pursue further. And I know a lot of writers will discover this in the process of writing a character. Gosh, that supporting character really just stole the show, and now I'm writing a whole book about them. Well, yeah, by doing this before you start writing, you can already kind of tuck those ideas away. You know what I mean? So the other thing that I do, I mentioned this sort of in passing a few minutes ago, but since I know the character's life right up to the moment before they appear in the book, I know their mindset and what drives them. And so one other thing I might sometimes do is, and this might sound a little multiple personality disorder or whatever, but it's really just method acting, I will write out a transcript of a conversation with them and me, the author. And so there's a little bit of fourth wall breaking where they acknowledge that they're speaking to the author, but they are completely in their world, in their language, in their voice, in their head, in their personality. And this is a way that you can kind of already hear their voice. And it's so well informed by now, by all the sort of background work you've done, that it might come out perfectly clear. And you might make discoveries in this phase that you can then incorporate into the actual manuscript. You might discover body language tics or particular phrases that they use or other sort of quirks. So those are the two big things that I do. I go deep on a character's backstory with the intention of not understanding what they do, but who they are and why they do it. What drives them? What holds them back? What are their flaws? So important. What are their flaws? Because they're either going to overcome those flaws in the course of overcoming the plot issues in the story, or they're not going to overcome those flaws and become a victim of the events in the story. And I don't mean victim like they have to die or anything like that, but that might be the case, right? So you not only know all those things, but you get to know them, their voice, their mannerisms, maybe their dress. And it's so much deeper, and it results in such a more compelling final product than simply writing up a character sheet like they're a role-playing game character. Favorite color, favorite food, divorced, married, what kind of car do they drive, how much money do they make? Look, all that stuff will become self-evident when you understand what makes them tick. That's what I do, to be honest. Until I kind of have those pieces in play, it's very difficult to write the actual work. I experienced this issue with Shadow of the Outsider, my current work in progress, the next novel in the Shaper's World cycle, the follow-up to the novel Light of the Outsider and the novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay. I had a devil of a time getting to know the primary viewpoint character and really understanding how his experiences had sort of emotionally crippled him. And until I could figure that out, and it took months of thinking, and every time I made a new discovery, that would change, that would ripple out, and of course, change what I thought was going to happen in the story and how he was interacting with other characters. And then I had, and had to do that with the other viewpoint characters and so on and so forth. Until I had worked that out, including how all these people and their flaws interact and play off of and conflict and complement one another. Until I had figured all that out, I was just getting nowhere. Just nowhere. And so working that out can actually help with writer's block. It can actually help you become more productive. And I can pretty much guarantee you, so long as you are open and available to understand some of the ways people work, and I say available to understand this because you're going to end up looking at yourself as well. Unless you are a complete sociopath, you can't help but explore your own motivations, drives, flaws when you are thinking about other people's. Every one of our characters is some reflection of some piece of ourselves. So it's going to be hard work. But if you're interested in the thing that I'm always advocating for, which is creating fiction that really matters, that challenges, that is cathartic and entertaining at once for both you and your reader, if you really want to do that, then this is the work you got to do. Everything starts with the characters. You might have some giant space opera where they're all trying to fight, you know, against the evil empire or whatever, but how it all happens comes down to what your characters are made of. If you don't think about that, if it doesn't matter in your story, then folks are just going to read what you've written or experience whatever form your narrative fiction takes place in. They're going to see your film or watch your play or read your comic book or whatever. And it's just going to pass right through them. Like, okay, that was fun. Meh, next. I don't want that. Do you want that? If you want that, cool. More power to you. You know what you want and you're doing it. But if you want your work to be deeper and really stick to the mental ribs of your readers, you got to know these characters so, so well. And it's going to hurt a little bit and it's going to be tough to do. But this is what I recommend. Hey, if you've enjoyed this or any other episode of Sonatotum, I've got three things that I would love for you to do for me to help show your support for the show. The first thing is, if you haven't already, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, please subscribe for free to Sonatotum. Just click that subscribe button for Sonatotum wherever it is that you might have heard this episode, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Next, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, I hope you'll take just a moment to rate and review Sonatotum. Tell the world why you enjoy the show and why other people should listen to it and subscribe for free. And finally, if you'd like to go the extra mile, you have the will and the means, I hope you'll consider becoming a patron of Sonatotum and my other creative endeavors. For just $5 a month, not only will you be a member of the Multiversalists community of writers and readers and creators, you will receive all kinds of special access, perks, and exclusive content, not least of which is the uncut, unproduced edition of every episode of Sonatotum. Just go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or visit patreon.com/mattselznick and pledge just $5 a month to support the show through your patronage. That's it. If you can do one or two or all three of those things, you'll be really helping the show and helping me reach more people with the Sonatotum mission of making stuff, finding success, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Thanks. So there it is, friends. If you have thoughts about how to develop characters, if you'd like to share your own process in developing characters for your narrative fiction, maybe in different media, maybe you have a different way of doing it, maybe you have particular systems that you've developed that work really well for you and that have helped you break through some creative walls, by all means, let me know. You can send an email to matt@mattselznick.com, or you can record a brief voice message on your phone and send that to matt@mattselznick.com. That's matt@mattselznick.com. or you can simply go to mattselznick.com, click on the podcast menu item at the top of the screen there, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. Find the link for this episode, episode 69, and leave your comment there in the comments on the show notes. I'd love to hear how you, if you are a writer at any stage of your creative development, I'd love to hear how you go about working out your characters for your works. If you're a reader or someone who more just takes in narrative fiction, movies, TV, comics, plays, books, short stories, what have you, I'd love to hear what you think about what I've talked about. And if you've noticed the difference between things with cardboard characters that are more plot driven and things where the characters are so fully realized that character and plot are one and the same, interdependent, interwoven, indistinguishable. It's all just story. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening. Thanks to the folks who may have just arrived and who are new listeners to Sonatotum. Stick around. Great things are coming. I promise you, I've got so much amazing content thanks to the interviews that I've held in the last couple weeks. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.